B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
With Slayer in the midst of their final tour, guitarist Gary Holt was nice enough to join me on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. When we taped this, it was Mother's Day, so we did talk about Mother's Day and his previous birthday celebration.
We kept it under wraps, just, you know, it was a birthday party. We didn't want it to turn into, like, you know, a giant signing session or anything.
We talked about social media. You know, he's big on Instagram. You know, we can't forget his real love behind thrash metal, and that's basketball.
Self-audit that they put out about how they were robbed of last year's championship.
Satanic cat guitar picks? Yeah, we also rate the Bay Area Thrashers. This was fun.
So I'll give Kirk, I'll make Kirk number one, me number 2.5, and James at 3.
Of course, we talk about Slayer, what's going on with Exodus, and more. Gary Holt is my guest today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Hey, thanks so much for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Gary Holt is my guest today. Of course, guitarist for Exodus and Slayer as well. And we talk about a lot of things, like I mentioned in the intro, while he's in the midst of this final Slayer tour. Coming up on Saturday, May 18th, if you're in the Southeast Michigan area, Livonia to be specific, Rock City Music is where he'll be doing guitar clinics, signing autographs, kissing babies between 4 and 7, and you can get your signature guitars for Gary Holt to sign that Rock City Music as well from ESP, so it's going to be a good event. As I mentioned in the interview, he did this before, and he's actually pretty good at it, so we'll talk with Gary here in just a minute, and then afterwards, it's Al Beck with Rock News today. David Lee Roth and John 5 did put a record out, but it will probably never see the light of day. We talk about that. There's a specific date as far as the release for Tool. A couple heavy bands hitting the studio. Maybe a little clip of a song from Volbeat, and Corey Taylor updates us on some knee surgery that he had recently. So we'll get to that here coming up in just a few minutes after we talk with Gary, who was late calling me. But it's all good. I waited around the station to talk with Gary because he's just a good dude. And really, I talked about this in the interview, Repentless from Slayer, which he's on. It's just like, it's unbelievable. Great record right there. And so anyways, it was kind of a busy day, Mother's Day and all. My kid had morning hockey. I was up bright and early, and apparently Gary wasn't up so bright and early as he called in about 40 minutes late. But that's okay. We'll let it slide. I mean, it's Gary. What are you going to do? He's on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast today.
Yeah, this is he.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Slept in a little bit. Sorry.
Hey, at least one of us did. I've been up since 5:45 because my son had a hockey game this morning. So, you know, but.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, so I guess you slept in more than for the both of us, I suppose.
Well, we arrived early and watched TV at breakfast and took a nap. Just woke up.
Well, I'm glad I waited around here for you. So good to hear your voice. What are you doing for Mother's Day today?
Sitting around in a hotel room.
And of course, I see your wife and stuff on social media and stuff all the time. You must have sent her a little card or something, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you're going to be in town in Detroit Rock City next weekend, of course, on Saturday at Rock City Music, doing the thing like you did last year, a little question and answer, a little jam sessions. You're pretty good at that stuff. I get the feeling you don't think you are, but you are pretty good at doing that stuff and talking to the fans.
I like it. You know, it gives it a little one-on-one, and I have fun doing it. You know, I not make it fun and enjoyable, and I guess I'm good at it.
I think you really are.
I don't consider myself good at it because all I'm doing is just being myself. So, you know, it's like, it's not really a talent. You know, I'm just hanging out.
It's funny because last time we did this, you know, people, of course, are like asking you to do like guitar solos from all sorts of songs you probably haven't played in years. So it gives you a little chance to maybe work on your chops a little bit too, eh?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey,
you know, especially like the riff bank, you know, people will call it requests for riffs I haven't played in a million years. Like, well, that's a challenge.
Yeah, I think somebody asked me, I think on social media, I always post, questions for whoever I'm talking to. And I think somebody wanted me to ask you if you prefer riffs or guitar solos.
Oh, riffs, always riffs. Riff is the heart and soul of a metal song. You know, the soul is just the icing on the cake, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, it's that's an interesting. I'm not a guitar player, but it's always interesting to hear from some of the fans, and especially the people that are musicians, you know, and what they appreciate is about songs and whatnot.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it. I like the interaction.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, a happy belated birthday. What'd you do for your birthday? Anything good?
We took over an El Paso Dave and Buster's.
The guys from Slayer?
Yeah. Well, we got a private room and stuff, but played all kinds of games, drank a bunch of beer. Everybody gave me all their little tokens, so I, you know, instead of buying something in the little game gift shop, you know, worth having, I got a toilet paper gun that shoots giant spit wads and a unicorn, furry unicorn head thing that you wear. Totally useful stuff that everybody needs, right?
You must have scared all the kids there.
Toilet paper gun's amazing.
Is that right, Derek?
The kids, I'm scared of them. They run around that place all hopped up on Mountain Dew. They're like crazy.
Yeah, that's hysterical. So did you run any fans while you're there or anything?
There was one father and his three headbanging kids. Maybe they somehow or another they had gotten wind, but we kept it under wraps. Just, you know, it's a birthday party. We didn't want it to turn into like, you know, a giant signing session or anything.
Right, I got that. So
play games, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ball and shit.
Just cut loose for yourself. That's right. And I didn't see any of this on social media. I thought maybe you would have shared this after the fact. But you love the social media stuff, don't you?
I like interacting with people. It's kind of the same thing, you know. Like I keep my Instagram real. I don't try to like make it all glamorous. I'll post bunk pictures of myself as well as awesome live shots. You know, I don't give a shit. You know, just, you know, and people seem to appreciate that I give them a little peek inside my personal world. You know.
Yeah, I think we've talked about this before, but it's like when we were kids growing up and stuff. You're just a couple years older than I am, but when we were kids growing up, we had to rely on like magazines. Well, you were living it. I was just, you know, watching it from the outside, I suppose. But we had to rely on like magazines and whatnot, like a month after whatever took place happened. You know what I'm saying?
As a kid, I was watching it from the outside too. You know, when I was buying Cream magazine and all that stuff. You know.
Yeah, Cream magazine, right here from Detroit.
Reading interviews with Ted Nugent and shit like that, you know.
Yeah, that is cool. But the social media thing is kind of interesting. Now, I think that you just deleted it or something. Didn't you just like rag on your basketball team or something?
Yeah, and then I'll go on rants all the time, and then I'll leave it up for like a day and take it down. So, you know, take it off the permanent page, you know. And, yeah, I had to like fucking shoved the thumb square in the eye of like James Harden and Chris Paul and fucking crybaby bitches. And they are. They're crybaby whiners and, you know, their whole life. You know, not, you know, don't say anything about, you know, that. Of course, they would have still had to play the Cavaliers. You know, they just assumed they're going to roll over them. And, how they would have won if it had not been for a bad cause and Chris Paul getting injured. Well, we were without Andre Iguodala out of four games, and they were without him, too. And everybody's like, well, he doesn't matter. Well, which one of these guys has an NBA Finals MVP trophy? It isn't Chris fucking Paul, and he's never going to get one. He's lost his window. They went up against the Warriors team for a game and a quarter without Kevin Durant, with players injured, Steph Curry with, you know, still nursing a finger that looked like something out of some horror movie. And you held them to 0 points in the first half and still got spanked. Your window had just crashed down on your fingers.
This is more basketball than I've. This is more basketball talk than I've talked with any of my friends in the last several years. You know, what's funny is
I'm a junkie. I'm a junkie.
I got you. I think I was talking to Rick Mahorn or somebody one time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and you know what annoys me? So I'm a hockey guy, right? So like the game begins, and the basketball guys are out there like patting each other on the ass and stuff like that. And it's like, come on, man! It's like, you know, that's your enemy right there. It's like, you know, when the hockey guys are out there doing warm ups, they got the referees out there just so they won't kill each other. And I think that Rick or someone said to me, he goes, yeah, hey, dude, at the end of the day, it's all a show. We're all getting paid. And I'm like, what? It's kind of phony.
Yeah, I think that's revisionist history. The Detroit Pistons were nobody's friend.
Right, exactly. For sure. I'm talking about now. Yeah.
No love lost between the Warriors and the Rockets. There's no patting each other on the butt. The Warriors, after sending the Rockets home, were, from the reports I heard, they were editing out the profanity part, but it was all aimed at Chris Paul.
Yeah.
You know, there was a whole bunch of, like, F you, Chris Paul. You. Mother effer, all kinds of stuff. You know, they hate each other's guts, and it goes back to Chris Paul being a Los Angeles Clipper when he was our punk.
Now
so he left because he figured I better go someplace else if I want to not be the punk, but he's still the punk.
Now, are you one of the guys that, like, you know, like you'll be playing, you know, on stage with Slayer and stuff, and like on the side you got like a little like an iPad running with the game going or anything like that?
No. I got my focus is only on the game, on the show.
I got you.
Slayer.
But you know about bands that do that when their home team is like in the playoffs or something.
Oh yeah. I've known guys that do it. Yeah.
Yeah, so how's things going out there in the Slayer tour, man? Tell us about it.
It's killer. Everything's been good. You know, all the shows, you know, haven't been a whole lot of them yet, but the show's been pretty massive, and we've got quite a show for everybody.
Yeah, I saw you guys, of course, the last few times you've been here through the Motor City. And, the show is, like, it's really second to none. The show is unbelievable with that. I mean, just everything they have going on. The fans love it. You guys really have really put it all out there.
Yeah. Kind of like giving them something to remember.
Yeah. Now, I just had Frank Bello and Dave Ellefson here in the studio, and they said something to me that was, of course, you know, the Big Four thing came up and whatnot, and I guess I never really thought about this before, but Frank Bello said that the Big Four thing, and I know you don't want to talk too much about the Big Four, but it's like, it all kind of relies around Metallica, and he says specifically James Hetfield. Is James like the godfather of the Bay Area music thrashing? Is that kind of like the impression I got just talking to those guys?
No, not at all.
No.
I am.
You are. Okay, that's right.
He didn't even live in the Bay Area. He can't claim to be no Bay Area bastard. Kirk Hammett can.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. But, he kind of said, that all revolves around
Kirk
James.
Hammett's the godfather of thrash. Kirk Hammett played in the first thrash band, Exodus.
That's right.
And then played in the biggest thrash band, Metallica. So I'll give Kirk, I'll make Kirk number one, me number 2.5, and James at... three.
Okay.
But bank accounts are the only thing that matters, and I'm way down that line.
No,
he's a transplant.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. What does it mean for you to be, I mean, every time I think about this, you know, between you guys and Slayer and you know, Exodus, I mean, you guys like Exodus and Slayer and all the thrash that came out of there. I mean, how proud are you to be part of that scene?
Oh, very. You know, it's like we were just kids and trying to write the kind of music that no one was playing, but, you know, influenced by all of our heroes and just put our own twist on it. And that's all we did. You know, we stood on the backs of giants and did our own thing.
It was cool to talk with Dave Ellefson, too, because we were walking around the station here, and he was looking at some pictures of Kiss on the wall and different things like that. And he started telling a story about, like, Kerry King, and he was, you know, his dad was a cop, and, like, his mom was, like, you know, whatever she was, you know, their parents were straight out of Mayberry, and he's, like, he's in the back, you know, making pentagrams. And I thought that was so crazy because, you know, you guys have known each other for so long.
Yeah, I think we're probably all like that, most of us. You know, I mean, my parents, you know, my father passed away last December, but, you know, my parents were still married and, you know, perfectly normal life and raised six kids, and five of us were total fuck-ups. You know? Excuse my language. But, yeah, my mom and dad totally supported my music career about singing about Satan and killing people and stuff.
I was going to ask you about that. Your parents, did they come to shows and stuff like that?
Yeah, my mom used to when her health allowed. Yeah. And, you know, it's old and hard navigating a crowd now like that. And my father had come to a couple, not as many as my mom. She went to, like, my first club shows ever. And, but, yeah, they were very proud. My mom still is, obviously.
Yeah. By the way, condolences on your father. But, hey, he got to see you become a success, man. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he dug it. He dug all the traveling I did, you know, because he was in the military for many years, and, you know, some of the best parts of his life was a couple of years he lived in Okinawa, you know.
Yeah, I read about that, and you, of course, you had to hop off the tour and stuff, but I guess family comes first.
Of course, always.
Yeah. So we're just talking about how all you guys kind of knew each other growing up and stuff like that. So when you step in and you take over for Jeff after his death and stuff, what do you ever really feel like you're a member of Slayer, or do you feel like you're kind of helping your childhood friends kind of reach their goals?
A little both, I think. You know, I'm definitely I'm a member of the band. But I always consider it's Jeff's seat that I'm just still keeping warm, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously you recorded the Repentless with them and stuff, which is, by the way, a friggin' killer record, man. I love that thing. I can't tell you how many times I've listened to that in the last several years. But I've thought about that in the past. It's like, you know, these are your friends, and I mean, you're stepping in to help them out.
Yeah, that's how it started out, for sure. You know, it started what I thought would be like maybe a 2-3 month adventure, and there it is, like, you know, in like I think year 9 now or something like that.
Yeah, it has been a long time since you've been stepped in, and you know, not having been a member of a band or anything in my life, I'm kind of like a team guy, like a sports guy, so I never know like how that feels. I've talked to guys about this in the past too. It's like, do you ever feel like you're really a member?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm one of the family, you know. If I need like the green M&Ms removed, someone will do it. You know?
So the Slayer thing,
no, it's
is
brown. That's the legend. Brown.
Brown. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I like the brown ones. We'll get rid of the orange ones. There you go.
Hey, by the way, speaking of that, all right, I'll just throw this out at you. What's something on the rider that Slayer puts on their rider that people might not expect?
Like, there's nothing weird about it.
No.
Truly, there's not. There's a whole lot of alcohol. just the usual, like, an overabundance of snacks and much of it healthy.
Yeah, you turned vegan, a couple years ago? We were talking about the last time I saw you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you say you're feeling pretty good. I haven't gone down that road yet, but it's always tinkering in my mind.
Yeah, it feels great. I mean, you know, I slip on dairy with some regularity, and I try not to because dairy farming is just as bad as, you know, the meat industry. And, and I eat seafood every now and then because sometimes, you know, I'm faced with the decision of not eating much at all or that, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
But, I'm still 95% vegan, and, yeah, I feel a whole lot better, you know. I have vegan jerky on my rider, you know?
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I never had that. I'll have to give that a shot. People wanted to know, like, what's going to happen after the Slayer tour ends. I know that you guys are working on an Exodus record, right?
I've been writing on it for a long time now, Tom and I. And I got a massive stockpile of stuff ready to go. It's crushing. Just savage.
Yeah, because I think, what was last record, 2014?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so have you guys recorded anything, or are you just kind of just writing songs?
I'm writing songs right now.
Yeah, because people are asking me about that on my social media. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Home demos and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of my listeners wanted to know, greatest inspiration influences. I know this is kind of a generic question. I know you're a big Blackmore guy, but who else influenced you? I know that last time I think we talked, it was Nugent you talked about, right?
Yeah, I'm always been a huge Nugent fan, you know, not necessarily politics, but,
right,
you know, I'm able to separate the two. I love the music, you know, the early stuff, you know, and, you know, Angus Young, you know, Michael Schenker, huge influence, you know, Gary Moore, and, you know, band-wise, you know, obviously Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, Sabbath, except, you know, Scorpions. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, the usual stuff that when we were growing up in the 70s and early 80s, for sure. What about current bands? Any current bands kind of float your boat?
No, Palette Trip rules. Just so silly.
Okay. One of my listeners, Dennis, wanted to know about the Satanic Cats and the guitar picks. He goes, where'd that come from?
It just started with one, you know. That's kind of a goof, and now, you know, every tour I'm searching for new Satanic Cat images. I got a good one on this tour. It's a really good one.
Okay.
I haven't posted a picture of it even yet. It's really good.
I'll
do that tomorrow.
Have you been tossing them out?
What's that?
Have you been tossing them out or not yet?
No, I tossed out the past series of pics, the ones with Satanic Cats and me with the big redheaded afro.
Okay.
But these ones I haven't tossed out yet.
Okay. Another guy wanted to know, speaking of which, how's your hearing after all these years? That's a question I have,
what?
Too. Yeah, exactly.
What? Yeah. No, not so good.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, you got this thing coming up here this coming Saturday, Rock City Music, of course. You'll be out there signing your signature guitars and signing all sorts of stuff. And it's always a big time out there. Of course, you come up and you talk and you tell stories and answer questions and play riffs. And it's always pretty cool. And, of course, the big rock show here on Sunday with Slayer, man. I can't wait, man. It's got to be so exciting just touring with those guys, eh?
Yeah, it's a blast. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, listen, Gary, get back to sleep or watching basketball or whatever you got going on, and I appreciate the time for sure.
I'm just waiting for Game of Thrones tonight.
Oh, is that your latest addiction?
Latest? That's 8 seasons of addiction.
Yeah, I haven't gotten on board that yet, but I got hooked on Dead to Me on Netflix. Have you watched that yet?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, well... I watched the first episode, and right at the very end of the first episode, it kind of hooks you in right there, and you're like, okay, now I got to keep watching this. So, anyhow.
I'll check it out.
Hey, dude, thanks so much for the time. We'll see you next weekend here in Detroit.
Right on. See you then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Gary Holt today on the Talking Rock with Meltdown podcast. You're going to give me your bass so he can sign it for you or what?
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. Because what'd you say in the other podcast? You got Tom and Carrie to sign. Who else?
Jeff Henneman.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
The late guitarist at this point. Yeah.
So would you just leave it at that? Just those three?
Yeah. I mean, they're the three main guys.
Right.
You know, I mean, it seemed inevitable that Slayer was going to be wrapping up after Jeff passed away, because they always said that the band was those three dudes.
Yeah.
And if one of them was out, the band was done.
Well, that's true, but, you know, as we were just talking about with Gary, that Repentless record's pretty awesome.
Repentless is really good. So the two before that, I mean, obviously I'm a big Slayer fan. The two before that aren't bad, but they aren't great either.
Uh-huh.
But Repentless is really good.
Yeah.
I really like Repentless.
Well, if you want Gary to sign that for you, just let me know.
All
but
right.
I don't know if you want to keep it to the original three.
That's kind of the, I feel like I should go get some sort of Exodus thing. Because I'm a big Exodus fan, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'd rather have Gary on an Exodus and keep him off of the Slayer stuff. Because he is great. Don't get me wrong. When they needed a fill-in, because obviously he was filling in for Jeff when he was injured.
Right.
Before he passed away.
Right.
And I was like, oh, dude, you're going to get someone else. You're going to get Gary Holt. I'm in. I'm okay with that.
No, Gary's an awesome guitar player. No
Phenomenal.
Doubt about it.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
And it's funny, because like in that interview, I was like, you know, and then you guys, meaning like Exodus, because I still don't really think of him as a guy from Slayer. Of course, he's been in the band. He's recorded records and stuff like that.
It's been a long time, too, that he's been playing with Slayer.
It has. But I was thinking about this earlier. It's like, you know, Vivian Campbell's been in Def Leppard for 27 years. He will always be the new guy.
Right, yeah.
Will he ever really fully, truly be in the band? You know what I'm saying?
Even Paul Bostaph has been drumming with Slayer maybe longer than Dave Lombardo at this point. He was always sort of like the fifth member of Slayer.
Right, right.
But Gary Holt, as a fan, I'll say the sixth member.
And by the way, no slag against Gary Holt. The guy is super talented.
Not.
You know, and of course, like we were just talking about, Repentless is great. From what I understand, as far as Repentless goes, he only has writing credits on one solo. It's pretty much the other guys. But, but you know, that's an awesome record. So,
yeah,
as we were saying. But anyways, there's Al back over there, nicknamed Slayer, because
he is
such a Slayer guy. But right here on the Talking Rock podcast, and we got the rock news you can use or not. We got some new stuff, some bands in the studio working on some stuff we'll get to here in a bit. Corey Taylor, Recouping, the guys from Hell Yeah, even some new music from Volbeat. But let's start with some new old music from David Lee Roth with John 5. I've actually talked to John 5 about this, but yeah, there is a record out there, whatever music that they made
that
will just never see the light of day.
Yeah, that's the issue is the record is not out there. Unreleased David Lee Roth music shared by John Five. I guess back in like 1998 or something, DLR was doing this solo album called DLR Band, and he got John Five to play on it. It's basically just the two of them, just David and John Five, and it's like 11 tracks. John Five saying that this is 11 amazing tracks of the greatest songs you'll ever hear, and it's not out there.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he'll ever see the light of day for sure, but speaking of stuff that could come out, you know, who knows? Yeah. We're not sure. Maybe Tool? We're not sure, but Maynard did actually post something, and yeah. I actually retweeted that on Twitter the other day.
Yeah, so, you know, there's the big album announcement for the new Tool record in August, and a lot of fans who have been hurt for a long time expecting new Tool albums are being kind of skeptical, saying like, yeah, sure it is. And Maynard James Keenan taking to Twitter just to say, yes, it is coming out August 30th, 2019.
Yeah, or as you said last time, May 30th, because you're so excited about this. But yeah, August 30th. So that's cool. Tool coming out. And I'll be chomping at the bit to check that out. I'll tell you what, really a band that really makes you wait for it and, you know, really crave some new music. And so looking forward to that. The guys from Hell Yeah putting out their what could be their final record. What do you think?
It really very well could be. Obviously, a big part of that band was Vinnie Paul, who is no longer with us. But they did announce Welcome Home, which is going to be their next album. Maybe their last, but certainly their next. September 27th is the date on that. And they also are going to be going out on a tour. We just talked about this in the last episode. Will they tour? Will they not? They got Roy, whatever his last name is. Janelle's not here to let us know.
Right.
from Stone Sour to fill in, at least for that one show. Will he be on the others? The information I have is not confirming or denying who may or may not be playing behind the drums. But Kyle from the band was just basically saying that Vinny would be pissed at them if they didn't go out on tour. He's like, we put in all this work to finish the album, put it out. He would be so disappointed if all we did was put a couple songs on the radio and then just let it sit on the shelf.
Yeah, I think that I can kind of see that, too. You know, I think that a lot of these musicians, especially if he was working on it. And I remember talking to Vinny one time about stuff that Dime had. Apparently, Dimebag recorded stuff all the time. I said, how much stuff do you like have of Dimes that, you know, never will see a light of day or never has? Right? Oh, man, so much, you know. And then, of course, they came out that one song, you know, the Phil Collins cover and stuff, put his guitar solos in there.
Yeah.
And it's like they could have done that stuff all day long with Dimebag stuff. So I'm sure that there's a lot of stuff still out there with Vinny. And yeah, Vinny's didn't strike me as the kind of person that'd be like, yeah, you know what, don't tour, don't do anything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And he strikes me as someone who would want them to go and do that, as Kyle had said. But the dates we have right now are just from the end of July through about mid-August, but more dates are expected to be announced.
Yeah, that'll be great. So, moving on to Corey Taylor, because, you know, obviously in that realm of music as well.
Yeah.
And Corey's, I guess, recovering from some sort of a knee surgery. Let's see what he had to say about that.
Hey, everybody. Just got out of surgery.
Sounds like it.
Doctor said everything was great. Just cleaned up a bunch of stuff in there. And I will be back on stage in no time. So I'll see everyone on Kimmel. See everyone on the 19th at Garden Grove. And can't wait. Thank you to everybody for their well wishes and everything. And we'll see you soon.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the guys stop. All right, enough of you, Corey. The guys from Slipknot.
One of those Instagram videos.
Yeah, it just keeps playing, right? The guys from Slipknot getting ready to, of course, release new music, which is coming out in the middle of August, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
I want to say August 9th, if my memory serves me correct. But, Corey doing the knee surgery thing. I think he had both knees done, too. I told my mother-in-law one time to do that because she needed to get both knees. I'm like, yeah, just do it. Just to get him out of the way at the same time. She goes, she would never do that again.
Yeah, so it was a double knee surgery. It was kind of a surprise. No one knew he was going in for this, at least as far as fans were considered, but you know what? He did post a couple of updates via his Instagram account. The video, for which we just listened to the audio. And he also posted a photo of his knees that he had just had the surgery done on. So, you know, you could find Corey Taylor's Instagram for the update. But it sounds like it's not going to hold him down, or at least that's not the plan.
All right, speaking of audio, let's check out a little clip from
brand new song.
Yeah, brand new song from Volbeat, a song called Parasite. By the way, you can check this out on WRIF.com, WBOS.com, of course, on some of the websites that carry the podcast here. But here's a song called Parasite from Volbeat. A little clip for you here on the Talking Rock podcast. Thought I'd see the guys from Volbeat talking about Hammer Time.
Yeah.
But here we are.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? Here's the other thing, Meltdown. Was that a clip? Nope. That's the song.
Yeah. That
37 seconds long.
Oh, is that it?
You know, it's funny. I feel like for the last, I don't know, 2-3 years, I've been hearing about, oh, yeah, Volbeat's got some new music in the works. And that's what we've got. They released that song just recently, Parasite.
Wait, that's the whole song?
As far as from what I'm seeing in front of me, it's a 37-second song. Oh,
well, it's about somebody that they're probably not very happy with.
Yeah, I guess so. But
they call it Parasite.
No other news available as far as new album. When can we expect new songs? We don't know.
Okay.
Nothing out there right now.
Well, it definitely sounds like Volbeat. There's no question about that.
Yes.
Hey, speaking of new music, let's wrap up today's podcast with a couple bands sent into the studio. One of them is Five Finger Death Punch.
Yep. So Five Finger Death Punch is back in the studio, which is really kind of cool because of a video that they put out. It's just a 60-second little thing that they put out on their Twitter account, and it kind of shows the guys arriving in the studio, getting in, having a meeting, kind of seeing each other, and just a little behind-the-scenes glimpse into Five Finger Death Punch in the studio.
And also the guys from Megadeth, of course, actually David Ellison and Dave Mustaine both commented on Brand New Megadeth on this very podcast this year, within the last couple of months.
Yep.
And both said they were working on stuff. Dave Mustaine seemed to kind of say that, yeah, he really hadn't gotten much from the other guys in the band yet, but he has a lot of stuff he's working on. And David alluded to the fact that, you know, maybe with this Ozzy tour being canceled or postponed or whatever, that it would help them to get back into the studio sooner, maybe bust out a new record quicker. But he also said, don't expect nothing until early 2020. So,
yeah, I know we were expecting some new Megadeth. I love the last one they put out, Dystopia.
Yeah.
So when we heard album announcement, I was like, great! And then it was that Greatest Hits. But we did know that they were going to be working on some new stuff, too.
By the way, Warheads on Foreheads, greatest name for a record ever.
It's a pretty good name.
That's a great name, actually. Yeah. Really cool stuff. So, all right, Al, give your socials. Let's wrap this bad boy up.
Al Beck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, at Meltdown WRIF, at Talking Rock with One. And of course, you can leave feedback at 248-586-2988. And that's what we got for you today. Talking Rock with Meltdown Podcast. If you made it this far, thank you so much for listening. A 5-star rating, write a review on Apple and iTunes and the whole thing. And as always, thanks for listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.